somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto
people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
eyes, but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Like you're living,
living like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams, yeah. Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
y'all. Ghetto people,
talking to my people, yeah. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah,
ghetto people.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in the medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So he poured his libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Good morning, family. And the first day of, as they say on the, what is this, the Gregorian? Yeah, it's the Gregorian calendar. This is January 1st, the beginning of a new year. Excuse me. As I was saying in the last program, I think that the new year should begin when everything else on the planet, particularly here in the Northern Hemisphere, where pretty much the majority of humans live. I think north of the equator is the majority of where humans live. Now, I mean, I'm quite sure, you know, south of the equator, they could, particularly in Asia, you know. But the majority of humans live in the northern part of the hemisphere. And in the northern hemisphere, this is a cold time. Because right now, Australia is they have summer. So that's why they play the Australian Open, the tennis tournament, in January, February, they play the Australian Open. And Serena is back on the case. She had a match the other day. She lost. But, I mean, hey, she's getting herself back together. So, I don't know if she's going to have the dominance that she's had, but, I mean, look at Venus. So the Williams sisters. But I'm cheering for the other sister that won the U.S. Open. I hope she becomes consistent, along with the other Hayolo sister who didn't want to be classified as, you know, that buck too self. But anyway, I digress. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, all times. I'm going to give you our times, excuse me, that are Eastern. So African Perspective every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then on Wednesday, tonight, I believe tonight is the first night of Buy Black 365. I believe that's tonight is the first night for Buy Black 365 here on Time for an Awakening Radio. And I believe it's at either 8 or 9 o'clock this evening, Buy Black 365. It's going to be a two-hour program discussing all kinds of good things. I listened to Elliot last night on Time for an Awakening, and he was talking to the sister and her father, Brother Cambone, and I'm excited about that particular program and upcoming programs here on Time for an Awakening Radio. On Wednesday, we have Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, and Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Thursday, it is Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, or pulling our resources together and doing for ourselves. Us Lifting Us, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. on Friday, if it is Friday, and it's in the evening, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, time for an awakening. Saturday mornings, it's Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Brother Troy Wilmore, Saturday Sports Talk. And then Saturday afternoon, early evening, put it that way, early evening, it is Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. Good program last night on the New Year's Eve as people were getting ready. The first thing I should have said was a Baragani. Man, it's the last day of Kwanzaa. Baragani, Imani. A Baragani. It's Imani. Faith. I'm going to continue to read the Nguza Saba that Sister Marimba Ani, Mama Marimba, sent out. I love it. Because it makes the principles a little stronger and not just so generic. It makes them a little stronger. Get a little more definition of what we really, from a sovereignty standpoint, because this program promotes independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's what we discuss on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and because we believe there is no other discussion. And in fact, everything that is discussed must be from that perspective. How is it going to benefit African people? How is it going to help us be more self-determining, liberating? That's how we must deal with it. And so it's been a good Kwanzaa season. I hope that everybody has been enjoying it. I hope that everybody participated. I hope you went to someone's home or had Kwanzaa at your home and invited many people over. Hope you got the children involved. Gave them some nice Ziwadi gifts. Something practical. Give them some books. Hope you've done something positive. And the day being the last day, Imani, I know in Milwaukee, we have, because the feast within Kwanzaa, because the Kwanzaa celebration is the first fruits of the harvest. That's what it means, the first fruits. Kwanzaa, harvest festival. And so one of the things that you have when you harvest, you come together, bring all the foods and so forth, and you cook a big meal, which is the kamaru. And we call it in Milwaukee because we have it on the last day because some of them have them on the sixth day, which was yesterday, Kumba. But we have it most time in Milwaukee on the seventh day publicly because you can have a feast, a kamaru, anytime you want during the Kwanzaa and call it just that, you know. That's what I'm saying. When you have, is that that's like when I was on radio on 1380 here in Atlanta, Dr. F. Keith Slaughter's program, he asked me, can you just celebrate it one day? Of course you can. If you and your family are doing some other things, but you want to celebrate Kwanzaa, at least focus on that and put some attention on that for that moment, you celebrate it right then, and you celebrate it right there for that one moment that you can bring your family and friends together, and you, whatever time that is within those 7 days, it could be the next day, the 26th, the 28th, whatever. You focus on the principle of that day and the principles of Kwanzaa, period, you focus on, you know. So that's the beauty of Kwanzaa. Light the candles, talk about the principles, and try to best to incorporate them into your everyday lives because that's what's important, because that's what really makes it happen. So, yeah, it's just that one day we can do it. But, of course, today we call it the Kamaru Ye Imani, the Feast of Faith. But the principles, I mean, the symbols are one thing, and that's beautiful, you know, the mat, the mkika, the kanara, the candle holder, foundation is the mkika. The kanara is the joining together of the male and female principles, the mishuma saba, which is the seven candles, the mizoho, which is the fruit or the and the vegetables, which is the harvest. Muhunde is the corn, which represents the children. The kukumbe chayu moja, which is the unity cup, which is drank from or libation is poured from. You know, these are the seven symbols: the wadi, the gifts, and the gifts should be that would not cause a hardship, but something that is practical, books, something handmade, something that is given from the heart. I'm not saying that the toys and all the other stuff that you give ain't from the heart. Some could argue it's not, but hey, you know. But these are the things that are important about the celebration of Kwanzaa, because it is a cultural celebration. It is not a religious holiday. You can be Christian, you can be Muslim, you can be atheist, you can be agnostic, you can be all those in between, and still celebrate Kwanzaa for African people. In fact, the Kwanzaa principles should be, anybody should be able to embrace those principles of unity, self-determination, collective responsibility, familyhood, purpose, creativity, and faith. Anybody. But specifically, we need them. We need Kwanzaa because of what has happened to us, not just here in America, but globally. We need to put in umoja. And from the Pan-Africanist standpoint, from the African self-government standpoint, the Pan-African vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and to build the African world order. That's what I'm saying. This gives more meaning to unity, to umoja. Not just we come to know. This is what we must do. Kuji Chagaliya, self-determination. African people defending ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. That nobody outside of us can tell us a damn thing about what we should do for us. What we should name ourselves. How, you know, nobody. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. Develop a system of accountability to make sure that things are being done properly, to make sure that things are being done on time. Ujamaa, familyhood, cooperative economics. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national, and global African unity. That we are supporting each other to the point that nobody outside of us can manipulate or undermine what we are about and what we are doing. That we are controlling our economics, we are controlling our land, we are controlling our resources, we are controlling who we are as African people. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions. This gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were born African. I wasn't born in Africa, but Africa was born in me. And I understand and respect the fact that we as African people span the spectrum of shades of humanity, of light, bright, and damn near white to blue, black. We are African people. And I know that some people say, well, there's some dark skinned people, they ain't African. Well, you know, let's be real. Either you believe in science or you don't. Either you believe that God created humanity not through an evolutionary process but through a creation process of spoken word, whatever that is. But if you believe that, then why in God's creation is humanity so evil? And so twisted. And why did one group claim that they were God's chosen and they Caucasian? And why did Caucasian impose this on the world? Yep. Deal with it. Kumba creativity, to think with African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We make our own way. What is saying that we look at everything about Africa and Africans, and we devise the mode and methods of our progress, of our movement, of our direction. We do it. We don't imitate anybody. Now, my suggestion, of course, if there was something that was done that would be a benefit for us, we use it. Whatever it is that will help African people realize, come into being of being truly sovereign, truly liberated, truly self-determining, truly independent, whatever that is, we utilize it to make that manifest, to make that a reality in African people's lives. Imani, faith. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will, the heart, to bring it into existence. Marcus Garvey said, up you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. You can accomplish what you will if you have the will. Now, you and I both know what happened. A lot of us will continue to blame ourselves, but you and I both know what happened. You and I both know that European, in fact, I heard a piece the other day because, you know, Europe, the Caucasians, and I've said this before, they are so bold and arrogant that they said that Europe is a continent. Of course, Europe is not a continent. But these Caucasians wanted to use the Caucasus Mountains as a dividing line between the eastern portion of Asia, because all Europe is just the western portion of Asia. Eurasian. So instead of saying you, just say Eurasian. But, you know, so anyway, we all know what happened. How we became divided through all the kinds of government programs and the determination of Caucasians to maintain and sustain the privilege that they created for themselves at any and all costs, even to the point of eliminating many of their own people. So we all know what happened. I just hate the fact that many times we blame ourselves instead of putting the blame where it squarely belongs and trying to help us understand when things mess up. Who is really to blame? And so, I'm saying to brothers and sisters, if we incorporate these principles from an African sovereignty standpoint into our everyday lives, we'll begin to work towards that actuality, towards that realization. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm very happy to be here. Like I said, this is, you know, January 1st, which is supposed to be the first of the year. I would incline to say that, you know, March or April 1st, April Fool's Day. But you don't understand what I'm saying, because that's the spring. That's when life begins to happen in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, but you know, this is not the year 2017, because if you look at calendars, I was looking at the other day how they have the mark of the calendar, the mark of the calendar. Just because, remember, Europeans who have dominated, the mark of the calendar says that this is the year 2018, and the mark is the year 2018 years ago, which would be, bam, the birth of Jesus the Christ, supposedly, right? And so that's why when other calendars' time frames go, you see them, they're always descending. They're descending to that particular point, and now they're ascending. They were descending to that particular point. Now they're ascending. You know, and even though that event didn't happen, but people can do whatever they want to do if people do it and agree to it and say that's what it is and then defend that. And that's what happened. Because by the Kemetic calendar, this is the year 6,257. It'll be 58 in the spring. That's what I'm saying. 6,000. We've had the oldest calendar in the world based upon 365 days. So, no, this is not 2017, but yes, it's 2017 politically, globally, because of European dominance and how they have measured time and calendars and so forth, but it's not really. I'm going to have a guest, and my guest is Brother Bomani Tahimba. Brother Bomani Tahimba is a brother who has helped bring many of our people to Africa, exposing them to Africa. And some of the people, and we'll find out how many of the people he has taken, and how many people have actually really, truly repatriated. That means that they have left America and now live in Africa. I know that for some of our people, myself included, I think that that's a thing we should do. Really, I know. I know it's a hard concept for us. It's a hard concept. But I'll be on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on this radio, because they talk about the same thing on the other programs that are on Time for an Awakening and Black Talk Radio Network. They talk about African people doing for themselves. We're not talking about voting. We're not talking about legislation. We're not talking about we need to more have more representation on a local level, on a state level. We need more governors. We need more senators. We need more congresspersons. We're not talking about that. We're talking about doing for ourselves. We're talking about controlling the land and resources that are under the feet of African people on the continent. We're talking about being players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. That's what we're talking about. And I know for a lot of our people, it's very tough for them to comprehend this because we've been so far removed. And the bottom line is we too sing America. Although it's a dual consciousness, as Du Bois pointed out, you know, I mean, it's not for me, not right at this time in my life. I'm clear that we need to get out of here. I'm very clear, you know. I'm clear that we need to look at Africa, look at a place where really we have the opportunity to join hands with Africans on the continent. And those of us who are in the African diaspora coming back to the continent with skills and talents to build. One of the things that bothered me so badly recently, of course, was not the fact that Mugabe was deposed, because really Mugabe should have, from the moment he became the president of Zimbabwe, and of course changing the name from Cecil Rhodes, Rhodesia, to Zimbabwe, was the preparation of the future of Zimbabwe. Getting brothers and sisters in school. Whether I don't give a damn if you had to send them to another country. If you or bring the teacher, whatever you had to do to train them to build that country, to train them, to educate them to how to run commercial farms, to train them and educate them to build roads and highways and ports. And this is not just Zimbabwe. This is what should be done throughout Africa. This is what must be done. And I wish that he would have done that, because you wouldn't have seen that pathetic and sad when the incoming president of Zimbabwe says, we're going to give land back to the Caucasian, land back to the European. They show one of them, and our brothers and sisters there were so sad and sickening and pathetic, hooping and hollering and screaming and grabbing, hugging them and kissing them, bowing down to them. Y'all back over so happy. Ooh. And then he said, we want to rejoin or come back into the British Commonwealth. Damn. This is 2017.
This call is being recorded.
This is so-called 2017. And yet, this is what happened. It was sad, brothers and sisters. It was sickening to see that in this day and age, that African people still begging the cracker. Oh, it was sick. And see, that's what I'm saying. You prepare once you have liberated yourself, once you have made the decision to be self-defining, self-respecting, self-determining, then you must do for yourself. That's what sovereignty means. We're not asking for any help from anybody outside of who we are. And that show was so pathetic, it was sickening. I bet you crackers everywhere were laughing. Oh, man. Okay, I got to calm down, because we're going to have a guest. As I said earlier, we're going to have a brother who is going to talk about us, about going home. If you know, on this program, we talk about going home. We talk about leaving America and going to Africa to work with our brothers and sisters in Africa to build infrastructure, to build highways, roadways, ports, hospitals, schools, towns, villages, water systems, wind systems, solar systems, everything that Africa needs for African people, and the management of African land must be done by Africans. But yet, we see the presence of the European everywhere, and it just saddens me the way we behave and act. Before I bring Brother Bomani on, I was telling him about an article I seen in the Atlanta Black Star. 7 reasons why people in the African diaspora are repatriating to Ghana, West Africa. Now, I've been to Ghana many times. Hootasane, for those Ghanaians who may be listening, and they would reply, Mahunye. And then, of course, if it's all good, you say Madasi, which is thank you. Land of new opportunity. Unlike Silicon Valley, businesses in Ghana are very interested in adding American Africans with interest and talent in technology. Companies like Blogging Ghana have built a strong social media global platform, making it a viable employment landing place. These firms are interested in changing an ever-emerging industry, meaning the opportunity is there to be a part of something bold and aggressive. Also, English is the official language in Ghana, so there's a prime opportunity right there. I know that's why I've always said to go to Ghana first, because of the not too much of a language barrier that you would have to face, and, of course, the receptiveness and the beauty of the Ghanaian people. Cultural connectiveness. African American Africans moved to Ghana to experience the heartwarming personal pride that comes with living in the motherland that they cannot get anywhere else in the world. Once you accept it's your home, why would you want to stay? Why wouldn't you want to stay in your home? This is Jimmy Thorne, an American African who moved to Accra, Ghana, which is the capital of Ghana, from North Carolina 8 years ago. And he told this to the Christian Science Monitor. This is where we come from originally, so maybe that's why we're here. Divine providence, and I agree. The prodigal son's returning home. That's what we must do. Financial and political stability. Neighboring countries' instability has helped stabilize Ghana and bolted to the forefront as a viable alternative for American Africans seeking an African experience in a stable, safe environment. There is no civil unrest, so there are no fears of conflict or uprising that could tear apart the country, according to whoseworld.com. Lifestyle advantages. The coast of Ghana is breathtakingly beautiful, with gorgeous white sand beaches that offer a wonderful reprieve from everyday life most people seek. ExpectArrival.com points out that there's also luxury hotels on the oceans that are inviting and offer scenic views and first-rate restaurants. The blizzards that pounded the U.S. in the Northeast and in the Midwest and other evidence of global warming or drastic climate changes are not factors in Ghana. AfricanInsight.com says the weather ranges year-round from 82 degrees to 100 degrees and sun lovers paradise. It is a sun lovers paradise. The friendliness of the people, which I mentioned earlier. The people are welcoming and the country has developed a level of stability. You'll be living among people who are just as excited to know you as you are to know them. Ghanaians are very hospitable, which makes it easy to make friends and quickly build a network, which is ultimately the key to survival. Those from the diaspora will enjoy making a life in a place that will make them feel connected and celebrate in a way that they probably don't fully enjoy in the West or so-called being so-called minorities, because you're not a minority really nowhere on the planet. The ability to grow. Many American Africans move to Ghana in retirement because they can live comfortably off their Social Security checks and they can start charities to help in many areas that are needed. Wherever it is that we find ourselves in Africa is where we should be, says Amakus. I know Sister Amakus. She's a good friend. I've been to One Africa. I've stayed there many times. Sister Amakus, she's from New York, and her and her husband, Nana Okofu, who was a firefighter, like I'm a firefighter. He was a firefighter in New York City. In fact, when I told some brother firefighters from New York I was in Ghana and said, oh, do you know, well, his name was Benny Robinson. Do you know Benny Robinson? I said, no. Oh, he's living in Ghana. Oh, you mean Nana Okofu? Of course I do. Yes. Yep. And unfortunately, he passed a few years ago. He passed. But Sister Amakus, and I saw her a couple of years ago here in Atlanta, and she looks great. Sister Kofu moved to Ghana from New York City 24 years ago and now runs a health spa and has offered books on repatriation. Whether we come from Sierra Leone or Ghana or wherever else, she said, we are the result of the transatlantic and European trade. Chiefs and other political leaders have made citizenship to those originally from the diaspora less difficult to secure. And, of course, we'll find that out by Brother Bomani. We'll see what he has to say. And the last one, Ghana accepts African diaspora with open arms. Well, the African Union and African non-governmental organizations are also working to lure African descendants abroad back to the continent. Ghana is leading the way. In 2012, Ghanaian Foreign Minister Mohamed Mumundi spoke at the first Global African Diaspora Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, telling the audience his government has given a right of abode in Ghana to any person of African descent from the diaspora. This includes the right to enter the country without a visa, to remain indefinitely, and to work there without the usual work permit. The Ghanaian government has also offered an official apology for Ghanaians, for Ghana's role in the trade of African people. And there is reportedly free land set aside for individuals from the diaspora. Free land. Yeah. We'll talk about that and more. And on the line with me is Brother Bomani. Brother Bomani, good morning. How are you this day?
Greetings, Brother Oshi. This is Bomani Tayemba. How are you?
I am doing fine, Brother Bomani. I am doing great. I know you just heard me read what I just read from the Atlanta Black Star on some of the reasons why some American Africans and other Africans in the diaspora might want to repatriate and go back home to Ghana. You know, you have been doing this for how many years now, taking brothers and sisters back home to Africa?
Yes, for 11 straight years, from December 2006 to the last tour we had was November 2017. So 11 straight years, 13 straight journeys to Ghana, and two of them including Togo and Benin.
And how many people would you estimate that you have taken to the continent, particularly to Ghana and other parts of Africa over the years?
Yeah, our main tours over the last 11 years has been Ghana and Togo and Benin. I've done twice in 2009 and 2017. But altogether, all the people that we have taken to Ghana has been just a little bit over 300 on 13 different journeys. And our group size are between 20 to 40. The smallest amount of people we have taken is 8 and 9 in December 2006 and July 2011. And then the largest groups have been 42 in October 2007 and then November 2017 to Ghana, Togo, and Benin. So we have built a base to specialize in what you consider a busload of people traveling around the country and making full accommodations on all aspects to make the journey as organized as possible.
And so usually you have been, like you stated, going to Ghana, and I've been to Ghana a number of times myself, and I feel really blessed every time I've gone there. And in fact, I've told people that if you want to go to Africa, I would suggest that you go to Ghana first. And the reason why I've always suggested that is because the friendliness of the people, the atmosphere and so forth, and the fact that there's not that big of a language barrier, and you will get a good feel of what Africa is about. And I'm quite sure you could feel the same way in the French-speaking countries of, you know, of Senegal or Cote d'Ivoire or something like that, you know, or even in Southern Africa. But I don't know. I just feel very at home in Ghana, you know.
Yeah, perfect. Yes, Ghana is Ghana's home. I was born in Kingston, Jamaica, grew up there for 11 years, and then my family moved to Brooklyn, New York. And while moving, living in the South, both in Virginia and now here in the Atlanta area, I've lived here for about 16 years. It's been, and then making that move to Ghana has been a reminder of this, you know, growing up in Jamaica, growing up in that tropical life, but also being around a rich cultural environment. So I've been to 9 different countries in Africa, but Ghana is my number one country, Ghana and Ethiopia, as far as what we feel is a good introduction to, you know, to Africa. So it's a means of this, our people just opening up to just taking that one first journey and thinking about all the possibilities of the future, you know, because I heard all your details of, as you read through the information as far as repatriation, and it's key for us to understand that the whole African continent is not all the same, and we have to just overstand the terrain and make things work, put the things that's in place that we need to, you know, be at home.
So in terms of African countries welcoming us, obviously some are more welcoming than than others. And I know that Ghana has really placed itself out there to welcome diasporan Africans. Well, how many diasporan Africans would you say now presently live in Ghana?
I would say over several thousand, more or less. And exactly, Ghana is one of the few countries I know where I know over 30 plus Africans in the diaspora, the Caribbean, Europe, and Black America has received citizenship. And when you think of other countries, you might hear, you know, you hear about Isaiah Washington in Sierra Leone, but that was, you know, a different program that he got connected with. But basically, this is not popular, but our connection in Ghana and the things that collectively we have done as Africans in the diaspora, as far as building schools, building tourism, connecting people, repatriation, investing, and all the wonderful things that we have done, this, the pureness of our heart, it show you that us doing these things and us showing a natural interest in Africa and us wanting to learn about that connection is open up doors of opportunity, because I can't think of many other countries where I see our people going and doing wonderful things, and the actions of all the works we have done over the years. And plus, you know, we talk about Kwame Nkrumah and the vision he had for Africans in the diaspora to return home to the African continent and be a part of the growth. All of that makes sense, and all of that is working out, and Ghana's taking the lead, and other countries are opening up because they're seeing that we must move forward from, you know, to be more independent and to be able to, you know, kind of balance the brain drain. Can you think of it? Some of the best talents and skills and minds from the African continent, the Caribbean, they're here in the Americas, they're here in America, and they're also here in these European nations.
Right.
And they're, instead of working towards our interests, they're basically working a paycheck or a job.
Right.
And they're distracted from nation building, and they're focusing on, you know, making white enterprise and nations stable. So those of us in the African diaspora that have these unique skills and talents and are open to repatriation, we can definitely harness an energy to where more and more countries will be opened up. And the energy from Ghana alone is spearheading that. So I'm proud to always bring groups of people there, not for only this tourism, but also for every other aspect of things, repatriation, investment, but also letting our people see us coming home, which is one of the most important factors, is like we can be here talking about repatriation, nation building, and many other things, but if we don't show the force or the energy of us caring to be returning and doing all the necessary things, then it doesn't really make it as, you know, vivid as it could. So, you know, so I'm proud to be a part of this history and looking forward to really connecting more of us there so we can make bigger impacts to where we can be a part of the future of doing manufacturing work. You know, and parts of Ghana that are not developed that are open to sustainable living, you know, we can be a good flow, you know, a good connection into that world also, because going into the major cities when you're dealing with repatriation is going to suck the life out of you, because it tends to be the same as here in America.
Right. You know, and that's the thing, as you were saying that, I just kept thinking about how Nkrumah and Patrice Lumumba and Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop and others who understood that Africa must be united, not just Ghana, Nigeria, whatever country, but there must be a one Africa, that we are one African people. And whatever talents that we have, we bring to that to develop Africa. And I know the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, they're here. They're here in this country.
Absolutely,
because,
right? Making a big buck.
Yeah. You know, but imagine if they went to school to get these talents. Not that they could go beg Europeans for jobs, but they would get these talents to go to Africa to help build and to teach others how to manage the land, how to build highway roads and ports and so forth and sky, whatever. To manage, to me, that should be the vision. And I think that, you know, hopefully Ghana is leading the way. Well, Ghana was the first country to gain independence. Well, maybe Ghana will be the first country that will help us understand the importance of repatriation of African people throughout the diaspora with skills and talents to bring for its development.
Absolutely, brother. And you make a great point. And the main aspect of this is there's people that's from the Caribbean and from you know, from the African continent that's here and that want to go home and open to going home. But the issue that they run into, and you know, because we have to look at the balance of it, is that when they're trying to look at get jobs and opportunities, number one is far and few and very limited. And it doesn't, a lot of times, you know, get them access to, you know, growing in their field. So unfortunately, you know, they get offers by so much other people and so much other, you know, companies here in America and Europe, and it throws them off. But what we have to begin to think about as we begin to repatriate is the factor that we must be a part of these grown institutions on the entire continent, to where anyone wants to be the best engineer, they can be the best engineer by going to, you know, by being in Africa or any other trades or field or careers. And because one of the you know, when we continue to lose generations of our greatest people, and we can go back to the transatlantic European slave trade, that was one of the initial energy that sucked the life out of the continent. It took the best of our brothers and sisters. And here we are today where we still see the same thing. So, you know, that is one of the main part of our repatriation, the brain drain, and going back and getting our scientists and our engineers and our best minds to put together a plan how we can work together, our brothers on the ground, and get access to land and build these sustainable communities to where we are controlling the utilities that, we have to pay to other people here, other, you know, the city, the state, for water, electricity, internet, gas, and so on. So that also creates those opportunities. And when you're doing that and you're creating them at a bigger pace, you know, you begin to harness to where your great minds can study and work in these industries without having to think about going to America. It's you know, it's not as simple as it sounds, but it's also that path of our responsibility when we think about returning home and the things that we can do. And those are the things that create those investment opportunities in a country like Ghana.
Well, you know, prior to you coming on, I was talking about what happened just recently in Zimbabwe with Robert Mugabe being deposed and the former vice president now taking the leadership. And one of the first things that he did was give land back to the Caucasians, land back to the Europeans who stole the land. And you had to me, it was a spectacle of
just shame.
A shame. I mean, these, our brothers and sisters hailing these Caucasians coming back and hollering and hooping and hollering, you know. And then he said, we want to become again a part of the British Commonwealth. And I'm like, damn, it just got even worse. It just got even worse, you know. And see, what should happen? What should have happened?
You know, that was Mugabe's worst fear, that as soon as something happened to him, that this was going to happen. The person that took the position. And that's why I always thought that he had someone lined up, like, you know.
Right.
And it's the same issue where Fidel Castro was in place, and, you know, at least he had his brother, but it's like we have to groom leadership for generations and generations to come in the military format, to where we always have the next best person that's going to represent our nation correctly
that's what should happen with us. We should develop succession plans where we are grooming people to take it to the next level. What should have happened in 1980, finally, when they got Zimbabwe or even Ghana or any other country, is we're grooming for the future. We're going to send people out. If we can't train them or teach them ourselves to come back to be engineers, electricians, and city planners and so forth, to build up Africa. They should have sent some people out many years ago for him to learn how to run commercial farms. So we could kick all of the Caucasians out, send them back to Europe and have farmland that is our own. This is the part that just bothered me so badly when I seen that piece the other day, you know, that this is the reason why what you're doing is so important. Because what you're doing is saying to Africans here in America and throughout the diaspora is that you have a home to go to, that you are needed. Your skills, your talents are needed. This is a new frontier for African people to go home to control the resources that are under the feet of African people that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they damn don't want to pay for. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote, Bomani.
Yeah, but I remember that quote, always a powerful quote, but
yes,
still the way it is. And you know, that's why we have to be prepared for war as far as this organizing the best of our minds. So, you know, it's like a game of chess or like a strategy game. And it's like we have to look across the entire board as far as, you know, about, as far as what other people are doing. And, you know, just in the light of Marcus Garvey, when Marcus Garvey talking about, you know, Africa for the Africans, the same concept. We see what other nations and race of people are doing. We see what India and other, you know, other nations in that region of Asia is doing as far as their enterprise, and they're building their manufacturing base. They're locking down on trade, and they're making sure that they get the upper hand over the Europeans and America as far as just any kind of investment or anything in going on in Africa. As a matter of fact, we're having conversations talking about over the last 2 decades that you know, the Asian nations have just overtaken investment and development opportunities and trades and investment to the point where over the last 10 years, all of the conference has been just between African nations and Asian nations, to the point where they don't even invite America or the European nations to their conference. So, you know, but at the same time, too, we don't want to be colonized by
Asians. By Asians, no. But no, we don't want to be colonized by anybody. You're right. No,
exactly. So we must, you know, look at the vision of what they're doing and say, you know what? We can do these developments ourselves after, yes, a period of time. We don't need you guys.
Yes.
To dominate our nation, because once, you know, once foreigners start coming into your country and they see how beautiful Africa is and all the incredible African women, next thing you know, they're trying to move their population in. Because when you think about the Asian countries, majority of them, the land, most of the land that they live on is not
exactly,
you know, a very small percent of it is inhabitable.
Exactly. So, they don't have resources.
Japan and China.
Yeah.
I think half of China is inhabitable. So they have this huge population in most of these countries, and they also lack in farming as far as food. So they're looking to get more farmland in Africa and altogether looking to just get all the resources. So everything for these nations is Africa.
Yeah.
And so we as Africans in the diaspora must look at our most important possession and change our dynamics of focus away from what we have been misled by our so-called leaders in the last 100 years, with the exception of Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey saw the vision of,
yes,
us being in Africa. And if other so-called black leaders would have supported him, that could have put us in a position to where we had a repatriation movement going on,
right,
to where we've been able to be a stronger people in Black America and in the Caribbean.
I agree.
But instead, we're just sweep across the board.
I agree. Because it's pathetic that, there's a piece came out that you have Chinese men marrying Ugandan women. The purpose, of course, is to stake their claim on the land. They're marrying Ugandan women, you know? But we're going to take a break, brother. We're going to take a break, and once we come back from that break, we'll continue this conversation. I'm talking to Brother Bomani, talking about repatriation and opportunities of investment in Africa, specifically Ghana, but just all of Africa, because it is all ours. So you stay right here with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in our hearts when it seems falling apart? Dreams from the night follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my eyes. Will our hopes be realized?
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com. And, of course, Abaragani, today's answer to what's the news is Imani, faith. Not just a faith in ourselves or a faith in God, but a faith in ourselves and each other to overcome whatever roadblocks or detours are put in our path. That song is from the CD, Seven Principles by Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duka, one of my favorite songs on that Seven Principles, of all the principles they have on there, of Umoja, Ujima, Kujitagalia, Nia, Kumba, and, of course, Imani. So we're here talking with Brother Bomani, but before I get back to Bomani, and I do have a caller waiting, so I'm going to get that caller too. We'll just give our lineup again here on Time for an Awakening Radio. We have tonight, I believe it is tonight, that Buy Black 365 will air tonight. I think it's at either 8 o'clock Eastern or 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight, right here on Time for an Awakening Radio. And of course, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And on Wednesday is Sister POC with Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And on Thursdays, it's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or like we like to say, family-centered economics. And that is from 9 p.m. to 11. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Saturdays, SST, that's Saturday Sports Talk with Brother Troy Wilmore. Brother Troy Wilmore comes on at 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays. And then Saturday early afternoon is Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sundays at from 11 to 1, it is Sister POC with Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Those are the lineups. And we're going to get more programming. As I listened to the program last night, they talked about some really good things. But we're talking today with Brother Bomani Tayemboya, and we're talking about repatriation, going back home, and also to investing in Africa. We have a caller. Yes, we want to take this caller. Good morning. Good morning, caller 215. Good morning.
Hey, Brother Oshie, how you doing, my brother? Happy New Year to you and Brother Bomani.
Hey, Brother Joseph. Hey, how you doing, man? Brother,
how y'all brothers doing on this New Year's Day?
Yeah. That's what they say.
That's what they say. Brother Oshie, you know I'm with you on that. That's what they say. I like how you put that. But I just wanted to call up and say I'm enjoying the show. And as far as investment in Africa, I've been wanting to try to, you know, get with a brother or sister or anyone that's of our hue and of my mindset, Brother Ocean, Brother Bomani, that invest in Africa. Because right now I have an ETF, a fund that invests in Africa. But, you know, it's like kind of through them, if you get my drift. But I want one that's grassroots and stuff. You know, they invest primarily in Africa. That's by us, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
But go ahead, Brother Bomani.
Absolutely. And many things that you want to do there in Ghana, you have to just be open to independently. What we do is an annual tour to Ghana every May. And what I wanted to share the website, because that's where we have access to just the full details, so everyone can process it. It's www.africaforthefrican.org.
As you're speaking, I'm grabbing, that's my fault. I should have had something to write with that when I picked up the phone. That's, I wasn't even thinking like that. But repeat that website.
Brother Joe, you know that when you come on this program, when you turn this program on, have pencil and paper ready.
No, you're right, Brother Oshie. That's my bad. That's definitely my bad on that. I take the hit on that one. I should have been ready, but I'm ready now, though.
Right on. Okay.
Absolutely. It's Africa. AFRICA 4 OR the THE African, the S at the end, AFRICANS.ORG. So So that's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And once you get to our website, you just go to the main menu and you'll see all of our tours for this year and next year. And you can click on it and then you'll see all your details, tour overview, itinerary, general terms, what to pack, what to bring, visa details, and so on. And what we specialize in is just preparation for you to travel to the African continent, connect you with our business and investment conference and the networking and gathering that we do there in Ghana as we go around the country, and connect you to land sites where you can see other people who have lived in the diaspora who have acquired land and see how they live and go through that process. So it's a two-week journey. We do it around the time. The next upcoming one is May 23rd to June 5th.
Okay.
So within that two-week time frame, we're visiting the Pan-African history. We're going to Holocaust dungeons. We're going to craft villages. We're doing night networking business. So it's a full journey to give you a full feel of the experience. And one of the most important things is you're going to be sharing the experience with your brothers and sisters from the diaspora. And then a lot of key people that you're going to be meeting with or connecting with are going to be your brothers and sisters that have repatriated. So that really fulfills our program. And then we offer just a lot of connections if someone is ready to make a move and get all those things in place. So it's something that I've worked towards the last 11 straight years, because when you're looking to repatriate, it's no information online. It's the lack of resources out there. And it's been that way historically, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We've decided to make it a strong movement, and that's when we started in our business, Africa for the Africans.
Well, Brother Bamani, I thank you for that, because I'm definitely going to go on that website tomorrow, because it is important, because like I said, we have definitely got to invest in the motherland, because as you well know, Brother Bamani and Brother Oshie, everybody's in Africa. Chinese is in Africa now.
Everybody.
You know, the Europeans, the Caucasians from America is over there, because everybody know what that country's potential is. You know, it's been said about Africa. I don't know, I remember Minister Farrakhan saying when he was over there that time, he said the land, the water, the soil is so fertile, you can almost spit in it and stuff will start growing. I mean, and they realize the potential. Russia got their little Greek grubby hands in it. I mean, everybody, you know, want to be in Africa and want to, you know, rape the resource out of Africa. So I'm saying to myself, it's the point, like you say, Brother Bamani, that we as people of color, we as Africans and stuff, we have got to reclaim our land and make sure that our people benefit from it. We can't have all these people keep coming over there, raping the land, taking the natural resources, the diamonds, the minerals, the gold, the zinc, all the new stuff that the Creator put there. We got to benefit from that and stuff. We got to make sure that we have in place conscious sisters and brothers that's in Africa. We can't have these corrupt stool pigeons or corrupt,
neo-colonialists.
Neo-colonialists that look like us, that's nothing but fronts for white people, that gonna let white people come over there and rape the land. We gotta have conscious sisters and brothers in these different African countries, whether it be Liberia, whether it be Kenya, whether it be Nigeria, whatever, Ghana, whatever. We gotta have strong sisters and brothers that they really love our people and got the love for our people to make sure that our people benefit from that land. Because there's no reason why in Africa right now, whether it's South Africa, whether it's West Africa, North Africa, there's no reason why our people in Africa should have to be living hand to mouth. There's no reason here in 2017, black folks should not be living in shanty shacks in Africa, in South Africa. Them Caucasians need to be ran the hell out of there, and our people be the rightful owners in there. Like the same in Uganda and everywhere else in Africa. Our people should be running it, and our people should be benefiting from that land. They should have a high quality of life where they're eating good food, living in good houses, and our children going to a good school system and everything. That should be our goal. From this day forward and stuff, we need to make that our priority and keep it moving and stuff, and make no apologies for it and stuff, you know. About time the black man rise and black woman rise up in Africa as well as around the world and reclaim what's rightfully ours.
Ashe. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Ashe. Thanks,
right.
Brother Oshie. Thanks, Brother Bamani. I'm going to definitely go on that website. Thanks so much. Good show, Brother Oshie, as always.
All right. Peace to you, my brother. Continue to listen. Thank you.
Appreciate your energy, brother. Powerful, powerful sentiment. Absolutely, and I will keep it strong.
Brother Bobani, thank you so much, my brother. Y'all brothers have a blessed one.
You too, brother. Thank you, Brother Joe. You know, I've been saying this for quite some time about us returning home. You know, but I know that for many of us in our leadership and our Christian leadership or religious leadership, when you put it that way, we're always trying to make it happen here for us. And to the point that many of our people, whether in the Caribbean, throughout the diaspora, they don't look at Africa in that way. They look at Africa through the Europeans' eyes. They look at Africa through Western television and Western media. And of course, some of our people who look at it through that prism, through that view, have a disdain and embarrassment and hatred towards Africa. You know, and then when you look at the amount of Africans who are trying to leave, when you see what is happening in Northern Africa, and not just in Libya, because enslavement of African people didn't, you know, it's still going on in Mauritania. It's still going on in the other parts of Northern Africa, you know. So it doesn't look good, but yet, for those of us like yourself and me, we're still optimistic. We still believe and we still try hard to help our people understand that this is where we belong and this is where we need to come back to. And these are the things that we need to do to make it happen.
Exactly. Now, as you talk about Ghana, Ghana is one of those countries that end up putting it into perspective to where you can have the possibility of seeing that you can live in an African continent. Because when you start thinking about the different things that's going around the African continent, it can easily throw you off to say, do I really want to go to this continent? There's full of certain things going on. And the unique thing about it is, just like anywhere else, there's a lot of things going on. But, you know, you have to focus on certain countries where you can build a connection. So I really believe we can really build from there in Ghana. We have all of the resources, the connections, and some of our best minds of our people who have repatriated there. And then, you know, and then there's a few other countries that we can also do the same and really just begin to grow from there. But we need more and more support from our people in the African diaspora. As you know, I was talking about earlier that the repatriation movement have never been the great vision of our so-called black leaders. It's more so been integrating into America and being a part of status quo and just, you know, being basically modern day slaves. So, we'll see what goes on in the next few decades. But, you know, when we compare things and where we are, it's really one move for us left to make. And that's, you know, repatriation.
It is. And it is the right move. But, we both understand that our people collectively don't understand it because we have been trained to think that we're American or we're. And you see what's going on, and so there's no affection and there's no concern. You know, our political leadership, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus didn't say anything, from my understanding, and I follow the news, didn't say anything about what was going on with the enslavement of Africa, haven't said anything about the other involvements of outside countries into Africa. The Congressional Black Caucus, instead of trying to get more people elected to political office and Democrats and all that bull, they need to look at developing African people holistically and globally. But of course, I know I'm not naive, Brother Bomani. I'm not naive. I know that may not be happening, but that's what I'm saying should happen, because this whole idea of Africa coming into its own, into the so-called 21st century, must be a holistic approach that regardless of what religion you are, whether you're a Christian or Muslim or whatever, that you are African. In fact, the most revolutionary thing that we can do at this very moment is to say, I am an African. I am an African person. You know, I know that for a lot of us, you know, we don't want to be African. We want to be black. We want to be black. And of course, black is a color. Black is an adjective. Africa is a noun. A noun describes a person, place, or thing. So that's always said that we are African. And the word that goes in front of the noun describes what kind of noun that is. So the word that goes in front of Africa, it describes the kind of African that you are. We're here in America. We're American Africans. You're from Jamaican. You're Jamaican African. If we were in Ghana, there would be Ghanaian African, Nigerian African, Nubian African, British African, French African. We're Africans. And if we had that kind of collective mindset, imagine the power that we would have. Imagine us now controlling the resources, controlling the land in Africa, building, feeding each other. Hell, Africa can literally feed the world. It has that kind of land and arid land. And you wouldn't have to eliminate wildlife to do it. You just have to manage the land. The potential is all there for us, except that the fact that we haven't embraced it. And I'm glad that you're on today talking about the idea of embracing that, the helping our brothers and sisters go back home. And far, but Brother Mamani, as far as your tours are concerned, how many people would you venture to say that actually made a move to go back and now live in Ghana? Do you know?
A few people. Don't want to say off the top of my head. About 6 people have moved, and about another 20, 30 people in that process. Most of the time, when you come on a journey like this, it's a fact-finding research mission. So
right.
Sometimes you realize that you have to spend more time on additional planning to make it done right. And then sometimes people already have things in place. So more and more people are looking to make that move. But we have several people there that's doing well for themselves and enjoying the movement. As far as their contributions there in Ghana, and they feel well with the situation. And the more and more of us that make that move, the better it is for the rest of us to connect with each other.
Right.
That way we can just, be stronger.
Right. And I think that as it happens, we need to develop some visuals, some film on it, some DVD on it, or, to show where brothers and sisters who have came from the States, who have taken your trip or trips like yours to various African countries and now want to move there, and show them going through that process. Because a lot of times people, you can hear it, but you need sometimes see it. So when you see it, you can really visualize that, and you can put yourself in that position, to really make it happen. I know that there was a number of Caucasians in South Africa who just couldn't stomach, who just couldn't envision living under African rule. And so some of those Caucasians left. And American Africans got a lot of those homes, beautiful homes with indoor swimming pools and so forth in South Africa. I seen a documentary on that about 10 or 15 years ago. I don't know if you ever seen it or heard about it. Have you?
I'm familiar with the situation as far as the time frame when you had a certain percentage of Europeans leaving, but they're still there in South Africa and majority of ownership still.
Oh yeah.
But
oh yeah, I'm just saying that there's no doubt that Caucasians still run South Africa. Believe me. Because the deal was struck with Nelson Mandela. That was a deal. We'll let you out of prison. You can become president as long as you don't nationalize anything, as long as we can control the minerals and we can control the military. But you can run it. Because, see, when you control the wealth and the military, you're in control. I don't give
Absolutely.
A damn. I don't give a damn how many dark faces you may have in a high place. I don't care who the president is. You're in control, and that's what is still happening in South Africa. They still control the diamond industry and the mines, the gold and so forth, the Krugerrand, all of that. So I wasn't an illusion, but I do know that a number of them did leave because they just did not want to live with the thought of an African person ruling them, so to speak. And a number of American Africans took advantage of that. I would hope they came there with the idea of helping the brothers and sisters in South Africa to gain more of a control of their government and more control of the resources of their land. I hope that's the case. But hey, you know, because that's what needs to happen. We need to make that happen. We need to make that bridge, and you are in the process of doing it, and I thank you for that, brother. Now, your trip in May, and you say that's May 23rd to June 5th.
Yes, May 23rd to June 5th, 2018 is our next journey to Ghana, and then the next one after that is May 22nd to June 4th, 2019.
Okay, and how many people do you anticipate?
We can busload of 30 to 40 people.
Last
few journeys I've had, that's been a number. 43 of us on the last journey in November, and it was 26 of us in May of last year. Both Ghana tours.
And what is the average cost?
Average cost is looking at anywhere from $3,000 to $3,700.
Okay, so anywhere between $3,000
and Ghana, or if you're doing a 13-day tour to Ghana.
Okay, anywhere between $3,000 and $4,000, roughly.
Okay. Exactly. Full package, flight, full accommodations, transportation, tours, breakfast, gourmet dinner, access, entrance, all sites, activities, business investment conference, full tour staff, shopping, nightlife. Just so that's a full journey to give you just a full transformation experience. So it's called a journey of a lifetime because it's literally one of those journeys that you prepare. And it's said to be, you know, we compare it to where that would be your best journey if you compare it to any other journey that you've taken in your life. We put that much time, heart, and soul into it to make sure your African journey to the continent is the best journey that you would ever take in your life.
Well, you know, right now, if an individual who is listening and would really like to make this happen, you know, is there a – well, let me take this call. I'm going to take a call, and then I want to talk about how you can develop and save to make that happen, because I would really want a lot of brothers and sisters to take advantage of this. This is a great opportunity, as you said. Okay. Caller, area code 267. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and I want to say good afternoon to your guests.
Hey, Brother Ralph.
Hey, how you doing, man? And you know what, Brother Oshie, before I ask your guests a couple of questions, I'm glad that you started off the program like you did, because I was just explaining to my wife the same exact thing that you, how you opened the show. This ain't no New Year. If you really look at this calendar, Julius Caesar done stuck a month in there. Augustus Caesar done stuck a month in there.
Yep.
October is really the eighth month. So,
right.
I'm glad you opened up like that, man, because the new year for me is when stuff gets warmer and stuff is growing
right.
And animals
exactly.
are coming up.
Exactly.
Okay. So now for brother, I would like to say, I'm listening to the conversation now. When I was down in the Caribbean, different islands, you know, they actually said to me that they have programs where if you have a certain skill, they will relocate you. Is there anything like that going on in Ghana? Hello?
Brother Bomani?
I repeat it one more time.
Yes. Okay. I was saying when I was in the Caribbean, and this is various islands down there, they said they had programs in place where if you had certain skills that the place needed, they would relocate you to start down there, and they will put you in a position where you can actually help the country out with your skill set. Is that true for Ghana?
I can't say directly, but in general, that's what's needed. So basically, people like ourselves have created our own programs and own ways to where we can assist our own brothers and sisters to come to Africa. And that's something we're looking to do at a bigger stage, especially with we've cleared 2.2 acres of land in the center of Ghana to build our new headquarters for our technology and our business administration that does Africa tourism investments and repatriation connection. And also it's where we'll have our kind of guest homes to stay in. So that's our main focus right there, is to really work programs like that and work certain connections to where we're connecting with the people that are there and see who needs what kind of help. But that's one of the main things Kwame Nkrumah was doing initially, and he was one of the first African presidents to really have a program like that. Same thing with Jerry Rawlings. Our current government has offered citizenship. So Ghana is one of those few countries that those things are really going on in. And it's up to other people if they know about other countries to let us know. But I've been in this business for over 11 years, and it's not a lot of country you hear about. I hear there's certain opportunities in Southern Africa, but you never hear people speak much of it. But those things are going on, but it's not a direct connection like that. You can always stay in the loop what we're doing. And if you want to share certain things, but the main thing is to, it's to work an angle to join us on one of these journeys to Africa, to Ghana, right, particularly, a country.
Right now, I heard about your trip in May, but I have something scheduled in May, so it might be 2019. But the thing I'm looking at right now, I come from out of a, I've been living in this country for 59 years. So I come from a capitalist mindset. I'll be honest with you. And the thing about it, when I go to Ghana, I know it's actually going back home. But when I go to Ghana, the thing I'm looking at is, how am I going to still provide for my family? How am I going to still, these are some honest questions that I'm looking at. I also would like to hear from someone who made that transition to live there. How are they maintaining? Because I've always dreamed about, and it's in the back of my mind, once I retire, I can move out of this country. You know what I mean? Get out of here. You know what I mean?
I can share a few things with you. Most of the people who have made a move have been people who are retired, so they use their retirement money to pay for their living expenses. And when you are using your living expenses, when you compare living expenses between in America and Ghana, you're going to make out better in Ghana, especially if you're living in a sustainable community where you're getting the best of water from the water system that you were building.
Right.
You're talking about a communal electricity and all aspects of communal living, so your cost has been dramatically cut down as far as what you need and how much you need to live, and you're growing all of the foods that you need organically. So those are the factors that change the dynamics of it. And then for people like myself, where I'm a business person, so I'm doing all kind of business, including tours, investment, including things like we're putting our money together, acquiring bus lines, and different things. So you become a person that's more like an investor. The country needs investors and business people and people who are going to create opportunities. There are positions in the country. Most of those positions are going to be like universities where you have to have a PhD or a higher level of degree to teach the higher level of your profession there at the university, which some people I know have come to, and some people have invested in bed and breakfast, lodge, different type of services. So it's there, but you have to really just add in your skills and your niche into it. It does take a little planning. Go ahead.
All right, bro. Hey, look, I'm going to jot down your information when I get a chance. I'm looking for a pen now because I really would like to talk to you off there just to get some things started, because like I said, it's always been a dream for me to get out of here. You know what I mean? And I might even do it earlier. Depending on if they need someone with my skill set down there in that country. I know my company always send us down there in Africa to upkeep their systems, but we'll talk about that off the air. So if you can, before you leave the air today, could you please leave your contact information?
Well, also, too, brother.
I'll read you my number right now. Direct business mobile number is 404-931-9429, and I'm here in South Atlanta. And our website is AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and that's spelled AfricaForTheAfricans.org.
C-A.
So that's
The Last Africa. I got Africa for the Africa.org.
Africans.
Africa for the Africans.
African. Right. Okay. Got you. .org. Got you. All right, brother. Exactly. I appreciate it.
Brother Ralph, thank you.
So you can type the name in Google and everything comes up. I have things all online. Facebook, YouTube, videos and pictures to illustrate the journey and the investments and the different things I just illustrated.
Okay, brother. I appreciate it. And I'll continue listening. All right. Thanks a lot, Brother Oshie, for your
All program. Right. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Thank you so much, man. And I will be continuing to put this information out there. I will definitely have Brother Bomani back on, talk about the opportunity for our listeners to have the opportunity to go to Africa to see for yourself, you know, what's going on. We have another caller. And good afternoon, brother. How you doing, man?
Okay, brothers. How are y'all good, brothers, on this so-called new year?
Exactly, yeah. brother Jay.
This
so-called new year.
Hey, listen, basically, I know time is short, so I'm going to get to it right quick.
Good.
On all of the times that you've been to home, Brother Tumani, what has been the most liberating thing that you've been able to gather from your time at home that you've been able to bring back to this country, to our people? And during these times that you have been over at home, what is the opportunity for import and export businesses being put together for those that cannot, you know, go there and stay, but would like to be able to go at least once or twice a year and do business with the brothers and sisters over there?
Appreciate your question. There's an abundance of opportunity. First of all, in general, you're looking at a developing nation. One of the most important things that I see, and you can also add this to your import and export vision, is in the center of the country, where it's called the Brong-Ahafo region. You literally can consider that a sustainable living heaven. Everything that you can grow, all of the food that you need organically in that region. You also have access to land at a very reasonable price. So one of the best investments I always talk about is land investment, where you can get even a quarter of an acre of land for $500 US. And you can build a small chalet or a small two-bedroom home for $20,000. You can grow your food. But the most important thing is you can be a part of a community. So once we get more and more things set up in our repatriation community, we'll be able to manage investments like yours. And when you build your home, we'll be able to, we'll be able to manage it for you to where you can use it as a timeshare or bed and breakfast. That's one example. But then all the fruits and vegetables that's grown in that area, or all the craft, I should say, that comes from Kumasi, from the craft village, that's your best opportunity to do import and export. We have a lot of brothers there at the culture centers, both in Accra and Kumasi, that are always talking about they want to meet investors, that they can ship over products that their communities and villages make. That's in a different part of Ghana that they represent. And the shipping is done by, from freight to air. So it's just different options. And also people like ourselves are going back and forth, or you can, bring things with you and bring things back when you do make those journeys.
So the government is allowing for outsiders to own land.
You can lease land, which is on a 50-year lease renewal.
Okay.
So it's not set up to where the terminology of the word own is used. I'm sure in America you use the word lease and things like that. Then
right.
It's probably all the same. But yeah, it's just a lease base, not ownership base. So it's also when we talk about citizenship and certain things, I usually have a separate program, a repatriation investment conference, that I pre-recorded videos on my YouTube channel, where yeah, different people talk about presentation as far as land investment, the process of investment. So a lot of those are things that you'll find on the website once you click on YouTube and start seeing videos. So our goal over the period of time was to cover many different things as far as, you know, like another investment, cashew farming. Manufacturing is always a great one, especially if you can fill up a warehouse full of sewing machines and people and create a chain of manufacturing to where you're producing certain clothes and certain garments that is well, you know, that people highly, you know, are looking for, outside of Africa or outside of Ghana, because then you can also do import export inside of the continent. So there's an unlimited amount of opportunities. It's based on us doing field research and putting plan little by little and putting your resources and then connecting with people who you feel like you can do business with.
And that's the
It just seems like we need to be in a position to set up some kind of import-export business in regards to Ghana and our people in the U.S. It has to be some sort of product that we could identify that could be used to, put together the necessary trade. I mean, it's been, a long time, of going back and forth, not only yourself but others, and it doesn't seem like we've made the connection yet to put things in place economically to be able to build a community there. So, we got to figure out how we can identify a product to bring back here and be able to also identify a product here to take there to be able to generate type of revenue to build the community that we need to do over there. And, just keep up the good work, brother. And, Brother Oshie, Hotep, and talk to you soon.
Brother Jay, thank you, my dear brother. Thank you so much. And continue to listen. I appreciate you. One of the things, Brother Bomani, that I, in my travels to Ghana that I realized, just like it was mentioned before about other countries that are in Ghana, like the Chinese and the Japanese. In fact, when I was at Amakusa's and not in Okofu's place, One Africa, because it's right on the ocean. In fact, his place lies between Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeon. And I was looking on the horizon one night, and there was a fishing vessel way out on the horizon. And I asked the brother, I said, "Is that ship Ghanaian?" He says, "No, it's Japanese. The Japanese cut a deal with the Ghanaian people to fish in their water. And everything is done on that ship. They grab all the fish and clean them and gut them and package them, freeze them, the whole thing, and sell the surplus back to Ghana, because the main thing goes back to Japan, because they've fished out all of their, they've eliminated the fish in their region, in their waters, And it's just like what's happening in China, That I just mentioned the fact that there are Chinese men that are marrying Ugandan women. They're staking their claim. And the fact that we don't manufacture anything. When I was at that cocoa farm, I was at a cocoa farm, and realizing that all of that raw material was going to Europe for Cadbury's, Nestle's, Hershey's, Swiss chocolate, There is no... All of the cocoa and all of the chocolate, it comes out of Africa, but we don't manufacture anything. We don't produce anything, which is very disheartening for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Heartbreaking. Serious. And that's why we have the opportunity now to begin to put things in place for ourselves as a people, now that we've seen that we'll fall behind in the race of the world, around the world.
Well, when I look at it, though, like this, Brother Bomani, I'm not interested in trying to compete with anybody,
All right, good.
The whole idea is that we become self-sufficient, that whatever it is that we need, we have, or we have the ability to trade because of what we have for the things that we need, So you come from a position of strength. as opposed to begging, pleading, compromising. Now, I don't, you know, compromise to some degree could be good or bad, but the bottom line is control. That we have control of the land, we have control of the resources, we have control of the life of our people, we are sovereign, and we can make sure that we can produce stuff that our people need. And that if we can't produce it, we can find ways to do it. You know, now you mentioned a place for a building that is being built to deal with the trade and investment. And now, is that going to be in Accra?
No, I'm building everything. I'm building in the center of the country, all sustainable, in the Brunghafel region.
Okay.
Building a fresh headquarters to where we can run all of our business and investments and Africa tours. Stayed in business doing over the years, to where we're using the profits to build a fresh headquarters.
That's beautiful.
Where we can employ brothers and sisters from the community and local village in the area, and also share sustainable skills that we have learned in computer technology, electrical and electronic systems. So yeah. So we need the land and that space to even just build a small manufacturing to get into manufacturing on fuel, to where you start arranging your own bus lines and doing many things you want to tap into, include ecotourism and more of land development. So it just put us in a position to where we can take things to a different level. And I'm one of those people that believe that we there's too many people in the southern part of the country that's doing different things.
Right.
And center and above, or northern part of the country, that's where a lot of the opportunities are, especially if you want to, manufacturing and really enterprise, because then now you get land for, a better,
Right, exactly.
A better price, and it's more fertile, and then
How far is this? I know this is probably kind of like northwest of Accra. How far?
This is dead center north, 7 hours.
7 hours? By driving. Uh huh. Okay. Because I know I've been to the northern region. I've been to Tamale. I went to the
This is in the center, just right at the midpoint.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Tamale is about 13, 14 hours.
Okay, that's beautiful. In fact, that's what really should happen in other African countries, is that there is a place developed to be like a place that we go to for a clearinghouse for investment, information, and technology. Oh man, that's outstanding, Brother Bomani. That is really great, and I'm very happy to hear that. As opposed to just going there and visit, buy some stuff, and come back home. It's opportunity.
Yeah, some people are gonna naturally do that, which is fine because it's a tour. We're in the purpose of repatriation investing, and that's our technique to do it. Doing tours. And like right now, when we get to Ghana, we spend 3 days into the Brunghafel region. One day, we're gonna actually go to a permaculture institute, and then we're gonna go right to the land where we have where we're building our community. And beside that is another community that's actually in place that's been going for a while, and they're called Benue Village, which is a community of brothers and sisters from the African diaspora that believe in that vision of repatriation and sustainable living, but also don't believe that everybody should be piled up into the main cities also.
Right.
So, we're there with another group, so that's the good thing about it. And we have the same vision, which is to give our best energy to assist more and more of our people to come home and provide them all of the natural tools to do so.
I mentioned at the presentation you did during Kwanzaa about Fiancra, are they still in existence? And you mentioned that you were aware of them.
Yes, they're still in existence. I don't know to what degree, but they don't have the tour groups that used to go up there before. And the management, I'm not sure if it's still organized.
Okay. But you're pretty much doing the same thing they did, and then bringing people there. And there were many people that took advantage of that because they were offered land, and with the stipulation.
Yes, it's similar in some points. Absolutely, their process and management flow is a little different. what I have is just a community that we're building for our business enterprise, and my closest people that are connected to me that's been traveling with me over the period of time, they'll have that option of access to live there in the guest homes, and then also those who get recruited to work there on the projects. It's a lot of work that has to be done, a lot of homes that has to be put up and structures and sustainable systems, including electrical, water, all those things have to be put in place. So the skilled, people will be also living there. So it's and that will build the foundation. And then once we complete that project, then we can build bigger development and then offer different options of people who want to repatriate from a single bedroom. Self-contained home for probably a very reasonable price of like $15,000, and just make repatriation reasonable to where someone can actually, pay for a home and they eventually own the home and have ownership in that community. So I want to make it this something that's very friendly for like-minded brothers and sisters who believe the philosophies of Marcus Garvey when you talk about Africans should return to the ancestral land and be a part of nation building.
I agree. We have another caller. We're going to take this call. Caller 215 area code. Go ahead. What is your question or comment? Area code 215. Go ahead. Okay. Well, maybe they just want to listen. We only have a few minutes, Brother Bomani, and I just want to thank you for being on. And I'm going to be communicating with you because it is my desire to repatriate. And having been to Ghana numerous times, I always say that I could definitely live in Ghana. In fact, the only place I've been to the Brohafa region, I've been to the Tamale Eastern region, Fantiaqua. The only place I haven't been is Tikrati. Have you been to Tikrati?
Oh, yeah. I've not been to Tikrati either.
Okay. Well, maybe when we go on the trip, man, we'll venture off and run over to Tikrati, see what that looks like, But I really thank you for coming on, and I will be promoting what you're doing and asking the listeners to go to your website, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And check out your Facebook for the pictures that you've taken of previous tours. But even go on to YouTube. Go to YouTube and look at some of the videos. And like I said, you have taken over 300 of our brothers and sisters to Africa over the years. And that is fantastic. I really appreciate what you have done. And I look forward to communicate with you because I think I'm going to be coming on one of your tours. It is very reasonable. You're talking about 14 days, anywhere from $3,500 maybe to $4,000 for 14 days. And I get a chance to go throughout the country. And some of the things that you can see and witness is just phenomenal, Give me some words in closing, brother, because we only got a couple minutes.
Yes, family, want to let everyone know that the documentation that was just shared, the YouTube page is youtube.com/Bomani2007. And once you click on that link, it take you directly to the YouTube page to where you see a list of a few different playlists. And I have over 1,000 videos. Most of it is just traveling around Ghana, dealing with all aspects of what we have on our tour, repatriation, investment, business, nightlife, networking, shopping, going to different tour sites, Holocaust dungeons, Pan-African sites, all right. Just to tie up the energy of the purpose of the vision of repatriation.
All right, Brother Bomani. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll be talking with you again soon here on this program. We end this program, begin every program, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bless you, my brothers and sisters. We will be back again on Wednesday for more of African Perspectives. Peace.
All right, take care, family.
Peace, brother.